Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And Carla and I are glad to be here as we seek God's will together with you. You know, think about what do you preach when you're before a congregation and they're considering that you might be their pastor. And I thought about it a lot. And basically, I pull out your best stuff. You could do that, I guess. Every preacher has a sugar stick. That's what they used to call it where I'm from. I just prayed about it. Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I think the direction I'm going this morning is kind of my philosophy of ministry, of how to do church. And so that's where I'm coming from this morning. I want you to know that. I think you need to know who I am as I try to get to know who you are. And so if God brings us together and it looks like he could be moving that way, we know what we're all about. And we'll be doing the things that God has called us to do. And so a couple passages of scripture this morning that I want to read to you. The one earlier that Hoyt read, I'm going to read again just a couple verses out of that. But I also want to start in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. Mark 12, 28 through 31. The scripture says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbors as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And then again from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning with your people that you would honor and glorify yourself. I pray that you would speak to us and help us to understand more of who you are and more of who we are to be in you. Lord, I ask you just to work and move and reveal your will. And I pray that you would glorify yourself, that all the glory would go to you and none to us. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, enable me to preach with liberty and power and rightly divide your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Christianity in its bottom line can be reduced to one word, boiled down to one word. And I believe that one word is relationship. Relationship. Being a Christian is not about keeping a list of rules and regulations, although we reduce to that. You know, someone said, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do. And some people, that's what they think being a Christian is all about, keeping a list of rules and regulations. But that's not what it's all about. What it's about is that God initiated a relationship with us. Holy God of the universe initiated a relationship with sinful man. God the Son became a man in Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. And when he died on the cross, he was paying the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. When he rose again, we gain life through that. And so Christianity is about relationship with God. God wanting an intimate, loving relationship with us. It's about God drawing us to himself, us coming to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and spending the rest of eternity knowing him better, loving him, and bringing glory to his name. Relationship. And then because God initiates a relationship with us and enables us to believe, because we have been made right with God when we trust in Christ, we have an intimate, growing relationship with his children, with others who have trusted in him and are part of his family. And then because we have this loving community, Because we love God and we love each other as Jesus has loved us, we love the world that God loved and sent His Son for, that through Him they can have eternal life. Loving God, loving each other, and loving the world so that others, loving those outside of the church so that they could be saved and come to know Jesus and become part of His family and have a relationship with Him. Relationships, I think that's what it's all about. I think that's what it's all about. One ultimate love and two subordinate loves that flow from this ultimate love. The ultimate love is love for God. Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." Loving God is the most important thing any human being in any church can do. It's the most important thing any Christian can do. You remember when Jesus gave the revelation to John on the island of Patmos, and he had a message for the seven churches of Asia Minor. The first message was to the church at Ephesus. And you remember what the first message to Ephesus was? It is return to your first love. Return to your first love. Why is it the first message to the first church that Jesus gave? Because it's the most important thing anybody can do. Everything flows out of love for God. Everything. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." You know, you remember the story in Scripture of Jesus was eating with Lazarus, and they were having a banquet, and Mary of Bethany came in, and she took a very expensive perfume, and she broke it, and she poured it on Jesus, and she anointed Jesus. And the crowd began to criticize her. The people began to criticize, and they said, "Why did you waste this money? Why did you do this? This could have been sold and given to the poor, and a lot of good could have been done." What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "You'll always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. Mary is anointing my body for burial." Mary understood something, and Jesus commended her understanding that Mary wanted to show Jesus how much she loved Jesus. She wanted him to know that he was supreme in her life, that he was worth any sacrifice. And so she gave her best to Jesus. You know, we get things so backward in our relationship to the Lord. You know, we have trouble with certain sins. Maybe you don't have trouble with certain sins, but I have trouble with certain sins sometimes. And what I tend to do is I tend to say, "Man, I really need to focus on whatever it is, you know, not losing my temper or something like that." And the more I focus on not losing my temper, the more I lose my temper. You know where I'm coming from? You see, that's not the way we should do it. You see, when we have an obedience problem, it's because we're not loving the Lord like we should. We need to love Him. If we love Him, obedience is not a problem. If we're having trouble obeying, it's not an obedience problem, it's a love problem. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandment. If you love me, you'll be victorious." When you love him, you'll seek him and want him. Loving him is the absolute key. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we love Jesus today? Now don't answer too quickly. Don't be too trite about this, because there are times we don't love the Lord like we should. We don't love Him like we should. And there are times we have to remember how He has drawn us to Himself in a love relationship. How He has made us His own. We have to remember the price that He paid so that we could be justified before Him. And we have to say, "Lord, help me to love You like I should." We need to love Him above everything else. You know, as a man, I've chosen to love one woman supremely. She comes before all. My first allegiance is to her. If you're sick and she's sick, tough noogies for you. I will be with her and not with you. That's just the way it is. The choice has already been made. It's settled. I forsake all others and I cling to her as long as we both should live. She's supreme in my life. And no other human being comes close to that. As a person, as a human being, as a Christian, my supreme love and affection should be toward God. I must love Him more than any human being or anything. I must love Him more than myself. Jesus said some hard words in Luke. He said, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. Anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. You see, you don't misunderstand that Jesus is not teaching me not to love my wife or not to love my children, but he is saying, you need to love me so much that it's like hate. You need to love me so much that you'll deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You see, Christians in history have known that. How can a person would walk into a lion's den because they love God more than they love their own life? How can Christians suffer the things that they suffer, even in our day? It's because they love God above everything else. So we, our supreme love, our supreme affection is to be for God. And we should never forget that. We're not to love His people more than God. We're not to love anyone more than the Lord. I remember a story my dad told me years ago about his Aunt Leela. Her church was going through some difficult times because there was some immorality that had taken place in her church. And it had broken up some homes and some marriages. It was just a bad situation. And he said, someone said to his Aunt Leela, don't you feel sorry for those people? And her response was, I feel sorry for my Lord. It's His name that's being drug in the mud. You see, we're to love God above everything and everyone else. Anyone in your life you couldn't live without? I've heard people say, if my wife died, if my children died, if my mother died, my father died, I don't know if I could go on living. Well, I don't want my wife or my children to die. My parents have already gone. It's hard. I don't want it to happen. But you know, the Lord is the ever-living one. He's the only one that can always be there for me. And if I have the Lord, whatever I have to face in life, I can face. Is there anything you wouldn't do, anywhere that you wouldn't go? Baker James Cawthon was a successful pastor in Fort Worth, Texas, and he was also teaching at Southwestern Seminary. And in the midst of his success, you know, kind of had everything the ministry could offer him, he sensed God calling him to China. And he told his mother that God was calling him to China, and his mother said, Bake, if you go, it's going to kill me. And Baker James Cawthon said, Mom, I hope not, but God has called me to China, and to China I will go. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Is God truly your God, or is something else, someone else taken that place that only He should have in your heart and life? We're to love God supremely. God called me here. I want to help you to love God above everything and everyone else. But not only that, not only are we to love God, we are to love Him supremely, but because we love Him supremely, we love those whom God loves. We are to love those who believe in Jesus. We are to love each other as Jesus loves us. See, if your attitude is Jesus and me plus no one else, you don't have it figured out. You don't have it figured out. We're saved to live in community. Jesus said that all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Don't tell me you love Jesus if you don't love His bride, the church. Your love for Jesus is not what it ought to be if that's what you think. You see, you could insult me, you could put me down, you could talk bad about me, and probably I would not do one thing about it. But if you start attacking my bride, and you start putting her down, me and you are probably going to have a meeting. Because she's my bride. You remember what the Lord said to Saul? Saul was on the way to Damascus on the horse, and the Lord struck him blind, knocked him off his horse. What did Jesus say to Saul? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, if you love Jesus, you have to love His church. If you would rather most Lord's days to stay at home, be anywhere else than when gathering, than gathering with the people of God, the bride of Christ, you got a problem. Not just with your relationship to his bride, but with your relationship to Jesus. Jesus said you must love one another. It's something that has to happen. You have to love one another. And it's a continuous present action word. You've got to keep on loving one another. Not just when it's easy, but when it's not. Not just when we live holy lives, but when we do not. We have to love each other. Tom Rainer befriended a man on Twitter. And Tom Rainer is the president of Lifeway Christian Resources. Anyway, he befriended a man on Twitter who's one of the most vocal atheists of our day. And the man said, "Why do you want to be friends with me? You know, you don't agree with anything I say." He said, "I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to understand your position." And so they befriended each other. They text back and forth. They got to know each other. And after they'd been talking for a while, Tom asked this man what made him so hostile to Christianity. And the man gave a simple answer. He says, "It is this, Christians hating Christians." Wow. You see, there's no method of evangelism that will help people if believers don't love one another. There's no amount of witnessing that's going to overcome if God's people are bitter, impatient, unloving, and forgiving. No evangelism will help if we are proud and arrogant and we shut God's children out and we don't love them. If we build barriers between ourselves and other believers over unessential areas of theology. We all see it through glass darkly, the scripture says. And so we have to love one another. If we think God is only at work in our lives, but we don't understand that his spirit lives in everyone who knows Jesus, then something's wrong in our lives. We have to love one another. Now I know Christians don't always act like Christians. Sometimes they're real stinkers. You know, it always amazed me as I would invite people to church and I would say, "Come, you know, be a part of us." And they say, "Well, you know, preacher, there are hypocrites in the church." And I think they thought that was going to shock me or surprise me. I've only pastored 20 years. I've only worked with believers for more than 30 years. And that's going to surprise me that Christians are sometimes not what they ought to be and they're hypocrites. Yeah, I haven't been a pastor, but anyway, there are times that we don't always act like children of God, aren't there? Do you always act like a child of God? Are you always the kind of Christian you should be, the kind of husband or wife or mom or dad or son or daughter? Are you only his children when you reflect his character, or are we his children forever because of what he has done for us? Do you only love people when they act like Jesus, or do we love his children when they're not acting like Jesus? Jesus says you must love one another. I must love, pray for, and support my brothers and sisters in Christ all the time. I must love them if they're like me. I must love them if they're different from me. I must love them when our personalities clash. I must love them if we get along well. Why? Because we have the same Father. We have a Savior who bought us with his blood. The scripture says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you receive. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God, as in Christ, God has forgiven you." You see, we're to love one another. We're to forgive one another. You know, sometimes we think forgiving is like an option in the Christian life. Forgiving's not an option in the Christian life. Unforgiveness is sin. It hinders our relationship with God. It hinders our relationship with others. The enemy wants us to think that we can put off forgiving those who wrong us. He wants to think we can work our way to forgiveness. And we can stew on it for a while, but we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. What if God stewed on what you did against him before he forgave you? Now, I know forgiveness is not a simple process, but I believe it's a choice. Sometimes we say, I can only forgive if I feel like forgiving. No, you forgive because God commanded you to forgive, and then you ask God to help your emotions to catch up with that. I don't want to say that what has happened to you, maybe from the hands of another Christian, has not even been horrific. And it might take a while to work through the process of emotionally coming to grips with that, but you can choose and decide to forgive because God said you could. He will give you the power to do that. You may not believe this, but sometimes I'm hard to live with. But my wife still loves and prays and supports me. I wasn't always a patient and loving dad. Sometimes I was a crazed lunatic. I'm glad I never have to teach another person in the world to drive a car. I'm just glad about that. If I'm your pastor and you need help with your kid learning to drive, ask somebody else, because it ain't going to come from me. I'm sure my daughter thought I was a lunatic when I took her out. I got a lot of stories, but I'm not going to tell them today. I'm not always nice to my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes I was a real jerk toward them. I did dumb things. But you know, because we have the same Father, we love, forgive, encourage, and support each other. Isn't that what being part of family is all about? And I think we are the family of God, correct? You know, we don't always know why someone acts the way they act. You know, I've been in churches where they had a problem with the person, and they were being hurtful and hateful. And the church kind of ostracized them instead of trying to understand them. I'm not saying you don't deal with that person, you don't talk to them, but you got to understand where they're coming from. And try to say, Lord, why are they acting like this? I remember when I was young, my brother was 3 years older than me. He was going to college, and he drove a bus after his classes were done. And so I would get home. I was home from school one day, and I turned up my stereo, and I was listening, you know, to my rock music. You might as well know that now. I was listening to the music, and my brother came home, and he came into the room, and he said, "Turn that thing down." And like the kind, sweet brother that I was, I said, "I was here first. Too bad for you." Then he began to cuss me out. That was not his character. What I didn't know had happened was that on his bus route that day, he had stopped, he had let children out. A little girl ran across the street, and a car did not stop and critically injured her on his route on that afternoon. You see, we got to love each other. We got to be patient with each other. We got to put up with each other. We got to believe in each other. I've determined not to make anyone who names the name of Jesus, believing Jesus alone is the hope of the world, I've determined not to make that person an enemy. I might disagree with them profoundly about their faith or their practice, but if they name the name of Jesus, they do believe in Him, I'm going to try to love them. I am going to love them because the Lord commanded me to love them. See, we are to love each other. We got to do that. So not only do we love God supremely, and not only do we love His children and help to seek them to become all that God wants them to be and help them become like Jesus, but there are others besides God's children that He loves that we should love. We love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, who's our neighbor? It's anyone whose need we can meet in Jesus' name. It's anyone who is lost or hurting or broken or oppressed or homeless or sick or suffering or lonely. If we can meet a need they have in Jesus' name, we are to love them as ourselves. Who was God's neighbor? Who is God's neighbor? It was a lost and dying world that without His direct intervention would perish forever separated from Him in hell. What did God do for those whom He loved? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What did God do for his children? What did God do for those who didn't know him, who were rebellious outside of him? God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we are to love the world. We, as the church, are here for the world. We're not here to huddle and hide. We need to ask ourselves, what can we do that the world might see the glory of God? What can we do so the world might know how much God loves them? What can we do for our community? How can we let them know what Jesus did for them? How can we let them know that Jesus died for them? You see, when you're growing in your love for God and growing in your love for his people, you want others to be a part of that love. You want to share that love, that life that God has given you through Jesus Christ. You see, love for God's not exclusive. It's not, you're to be different, but you're not to live like other people don't matter. And you know what the truth is? Sometimes Christians live that way. They matter to God and they should matter to us. Churches that say they love God and love each other but don't care about people around them are just fooling themselves. They don't love God and they don't love each other like they should. Because if you love God, you won't sit passively around and watch those around you be outside of his love and you not do anything about it. It's easy, though, to not see the world like we should. My son is a pastor at the congregation he serves is Jacob's Well on campus on University of Minnesota. And he writes a blog every once in a while, and he wrote this a few years ago about a big Christian meeting that was happening in Kauffman, which is the student center at the University of Minnesota. And he said this: there's a big Christian gathering going on in the basement of Kauffman. Hundreds have walked past me and those sitting around me, but none have stopped to invite us downstairs. How often do I forget to look at situations through the eyes of Jesus and eternity and instead go through the routine of my day? Just a thought, don't walk past the opportunities. Often I do the same. I don't see people in situations through the eyes of Christ, but simply go through my daily routine. This wasn't to point out the flaw in some other Christian organization. It was to point out a flaw in how Christians, including myself, often live. Our neighbors, our communities, we're here for. You know, if it was just about us, why didn't the Lord just save us and just take us all to heaven immediately? The scripture says the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as men count slowness, but is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants people to be saved. He wants others to come into his love, and we ought to want that too. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Relationship, that is what I think sums up the Christian life. A relationship that was so important that God gave his one and only Son to take the punishment for your sins upon himself. Wow. He shed his own blood, dying on the cross, so that we might be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Relationships. Are you loving God like you should? Are you loving others like you should, other believers? Are you loving them when they're lovable and unlovable? Are you loving the world and saying, God, I want you to use me that others might know your love? Now, I can't cajole you. I can't lay a guilt trip on you to enable you to love. But you know, if we realize we don't love like we should, love God and love his people and love the world, we say, God, empower me, enable me to love. You see, he does place his Holy Spirit in you, doesn't he, if you're a Christian? And there's nothing that he commands you to do
that you can't do. We are to love Him. We are to love each other. And we are to love the world. And God gives us the strength, the power, by the Holy Spirit who lives in us to do just that. May we pray together. I don't know, I know very few of you in this congregation today. And I just want to encourage you, what is God saying to you? You know, I don't believe we just preach to be intellectually enlightened. I believe when God's Word is taught, He wants us to respond in obedience. He wants us to say something. He wants us to do something. And so if God has spoken to you, maybe you're here today and you've never responded to the Holy Spirit's wooing of you. You've never said, Jesus, I want to believe in You. Give my life to You. I believe in what You did for me. And I'm going to put my trust in You today. I'm going to receive the gift that You're offering me. If you've never done that, today is the day that you need to say yes to Jesus. Don't just be passive. Say yes to Him. Say, Lord, I believe You. I'll trust You. I'll follow You. If you're here today and you say, man, I'm not loving the Lord like I should, just say, Lord, help me to love You like I should. Help me to love Your people like I should, so that You might be glorified through my life. Our Father, we love You. We thank You for Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. We pray that You'd work in our lives, that we might love You above everything and everyone else, and we might love each other as You have loved us. And Lord, we might love the world that You gave Yourself for. Would You work? Would You speak? Would You draw? Lord, we pray that there would not be anything inside of us, any unconfessed sin, that would hinder us from doing the things that You've called us to do. We ask You to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.